Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Punters Postmortem. A complete wrap of the weekend's racing and the chance to have your say. Let's get into it.
Can't wait. Only a few more sleeps. It's going to be on, and Rose Hill Gardens will be rocking with the Golden Slipper of 2017. It's an open field. Our experts will find the winner. That's what they've promised to me earlier on this morning. Definitive answer about who will be winning the Golden Slipper of 2017. It is exciting times. It is one of the great days of racing on that Australasian calendar. It comes up on Saturday. Good morning, Ronnie Duffersey.
Yeah, good morning, TK. Exciting week ahead. The draw tomorrow for the Slipper. Probably a weather watch as well for the Slipper. It's we've got Winx on show, where she takes on Chautauqua and La Romaine. So it's going to be a ripper day next Saturday, and we've had a big weekend.
You know, my fascination with the weather, and I'm fixed on this now. It was so nice to see some sunshine and a better track. It looks so much better when you watch the races on the weekend. Well, unfortunately today, 8 mil of rain is expected. Tomorrow being Tuesday, 70 mil of rain, up to 70 mil of rain is expected. On Wednesday also showers, on Thursday showers, on Friday showers, and on Saturday also showers. So we're going to be doing some form. We're going to be doing some form for a wet track. Good morning, Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au.
Yeah, well, TK, one thing, we're being used to it. So
yeah, that's right.
It's not as if we're trying to work out dry track form to wet track form. But I think the track played pretty good on Saturday.
It did.
Considering, yeah, you know, the conditions we've had. And, of course, we're used to a lot more rain happening out towards the east than what they've had out towards Rose Hill. So I just hope that that prediction of all of that rain this week is mainly coastal.
Yes.
And doesn't affect Rose Hill to the extent that it does.
Well, that can be the case.
Typically is the case, TK.
Yeah, it is.
Which has been set in stone over the last 20-odd years.
Yeah.
But it gets a whole lot more rain at Randwick when there's a feature meeting than you get at Rose Hill.
Yeah, exactly. That is undeniable. I can tell you what, I think our very, very good friends south of the border, I don't know what they've been drinking over the weekend, but things have gone a bit crazy down there. We're changing the Caulfield Cup from a handicap to weight for age. I think that was probably a discussion point. But then when you wake up and you read that the Melbourne Cup is moving from the first Tuesday in November, we think the whole world's gone mad. Good morning, Dean Lester.
Good morning, TK. Next week, you'll read, we're actually going to move Christmas. we're floating a movement from there, so we've just gone a bit off-ski here.
It's gone nuts.
Oh.
Nutso.
I'm embarrassed to be a Victorian.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
Is it just infighting? Is it just rumour mongering?
Well, the Caulfield Cup one was launched the day before Newmarket Day. So it's
the spirit of cooperation between race clubs in Melbourne is at its all-time best.
Of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh dear. I wonder if the VRC, if that was leaked to take away the pressure from the track. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I think the memo came out pretty quickly, didn't it?
Yes.
From the new chairman of the VRC saying that, it's not going anywhere. Plus, the benefit of that is we won't have to put up with Lee Friedman telling us, "I told you so,"
for
the rest of our lives. "I told you so."
Does the Caulfield Cup one have any legs?
Oh, it probably does to an extent, Ron, but I reckon they should be looking at it that 180 degrees the other way. I think they should make it the Great Australian Race. This is the race that you can win that gets you into the International Melbourne Cup or something like that. You know, I think that trying to get weight for it, the problem is it's 12 days after the Arc and it's under the same conditions as the Arc.
Yeah. Can we seriously
give up? What are you going to get?
Can we seriously give up on the thought that the world is going to come in because we've got to wait for age race?
Yeah.
Right. Would we like to go back to Jim Fleming?
They've got Champions
at the
Day.
STC that the BMW was going to be the best international race in the world. That's 30 years ago?
Yeah.
Has it eventuated?
No.
I did like Michael Brow's tweet. He said, despite Michael Browse, one of the bosses of Moonee Valley, despite speculation, I can confirm the Cox plate is not becoming a handicap. Race, run under the Sydney way direction. Under slot conditions for $20 million with 24 runners. So, I think Michael took that on board because they had their big announcement regarding a new sponsor for the Cox plate. So I think they weren't overly impressed that there was a press release regarding another club and their race, which runs a week before their biggest race of the year. A bit of spotlight off them.
Look, I will get to all the positives about racing from the weekend, right, and about what we're going to be seeing on the weekend upcoming. But I just do want to deal with this one, which is the track bias from Flemington Dino on Saturday. And the fact that was revealed to me, and I was unaware of it, is there's two different types of grass on that Flemington surface. And I think it's, is it Kucha Kaikuya is the inside, and Kaikuya. Then it's the Rye the outside.
It's 3 metres.
Yeah, 3 metres.
And it's...
Is that not strange?
It's incredibly strange.
Yeah.
It'd be like having an Onta car and a grass tennis court one end and the other. Anecdotally, I've had it told to me that at the end of last spring, because I was told the Kaikuya was all gone.
Kaikuya, right.
Yeah, it was all gone. And at the end of last spring, to help the track repair, it was re-sown in and expected to run across the track, and it's only spread about 3 metres.
Right. Mm.
So that's the issue there. That's why it's being cut shorter, because it is a thicker matting grass. But then trying to make that cut the right length to be equal to the ryegrass, gee, that's Russian roulette.
And it grows differently.
Yeah.
And I imagine it just gives you two sets of problems.
Yeah. And after what we saw last Saturday, there was a pretty easy solution. That was put the rail in the 3 metre spot.
Yeah.
And I think it was a really bad error.
And I saw the explanation of that, Dino, was the fact, well, I've got some big meetings coming up, so I wanted to get this one.
Got one.
In the rail.
Got one next Saturday.
Yeah. It was a pretty big one last Saturday as well.
Yeah. Last Saturday they were running for fairly decent money. This was the ultimate meeting this week. I mean, we run Turnbull Stakes Day, which is a big day, in the 9 metre spot, and it races fine.
Yep.
So moving the rail out at Flemington isn't an issue.
No. Okay. But there's two types of grass being used on the same track, which I think for most punters would be a bit of a revelation.
Horrific.
Yeah. Were you aware of that, Duff?
No, I wasn't.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't. Actually.
I nearly fell off the lounge.
No, I was made aware of it last week. But I was told it wasn't all the way around the track. But then when I went out and had a look on Saturday,
you can
see it. Yeah.
Yeah, which would just be a nightmare. It would be like looking after two separate tracks. I mean, that's, I'm flat out mowing my lawn and doing the edges. But, I would imagine it would cause a whole set of problems. If you got a solution... 13-53-53-2. Let's get to all the good stuff, Ronnie. And firstly, Glenn, if I can from you, a golden slipper market as it stands after what we saw on the weekend with the Pago and the Magic Knight. Seeing, Tulip come through was probably the most impressive, and now a solid chance in the golden slipper.
Right, as it stands at the moment, TK, Hootson now outright favourite for the slipper. I think you'll find was made outright favourite Saturday. A $4 chance, and she arrived in Sydney, I think, this morning.
Yes.
And we'll gallop at Rose Hill tomorrow morning. A $4 chance, Hootson. She will reign on the second line of betting at $4.60. Catchy, the Blue Diamond winner at $8. Pariah, the Blue Diamond runner-up at $9. Tulip, third in the Blue Diamond, winner on Saturday at $11. Frolic, also $11. Formality, Gunnison, and Teaspoon, who'll be Zach Burton in the slipper, at $15. Oh. We've got Deucimus at $26, Invader $26, Manari, a single bullet, and Trapeze Artist, the Black Opal winner, along with Trekking and Veronillo, all at $26. And then we've got Diamond Tathagata, Medinity at $51, Khan at $101, and Exceeds at $201. That is the slipper, and we'll know the field tomorrow morning.
So She Will Reign was at one stage a $2.80 chance, now a $4.60 chance. Utsun is the favourite, and Catchy has firmed in from $11 after winning the Blue Diamond to now being an $8 chance. Pariah at $9. And Frolic, certainly, Glenn, enjoys a wet track. We know that.
Yeah, but she enjoys a wet track at Randwick in the fast lane.
Oh, here we go.
rather than a Rose Hill wet track.
That's true.
And well, TK, just how many horses that handled the wet track at Randwick transferred those runs to Rose Hill?
No, Glenn, what you say is true. What I'm saying is it's just another thing to factor in trying to do the form, isn't
TK,
it?
Well, TK, I think this is the best race we have all year, the Golden Slipper, and I tear it apart 1,000 times, and I have got no idea whatsoever.
Yeah.
Has Catchy got any wet form?
When was the last time they had a wet track in Melbourne?
Yeah, that's right.
No.
So that's
Does breeding of Catchy, well, only self-interest here, does breeding of Catchy tell us anything, Dino, that she could handle a wet track?
Not that I'm aware of. No. Yeah,
that's all right. It was a question without
notice. I like
notice.
The 4 from 4 factor, though, that she's unbeaten. So I'm hoping she can handle anything.
I like the last, that 100. When you keep going back to that Blue Diamond, if you have a look at that race, probably wasn't entitled to win, Dino, I didn't think. And the last 100 was just super impressive.
Yeah, she's very good, and it's lovely how the form sort of, the Blue Diamond form's stacking up well.
Because of Tulip coming out on the weekend and winning?
Tulip, yeah. Aspect, who was well beaten in the Diamond Orbit, won the sires down here.
Yep.
He was well behind them, so.
And our horses have fallen away as well. Mm. And our big colts haven't shaped up. Our She Will Reign's got a little blot in the copybook last time. We got the Queenslander. Who hasn't done a thing wrong, but
who's got danger, I reckon,
and has got some soft track form, Ronnie, but not heavy track form.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good indication, isn't it?
But 1200 metre pressure is, on a wet track is different.
Right. So at this stage, what are you doing?
Oh, look, I don't know. My short list is Catchy. Sure. Catchy. I was very taken with Tulip. Pariah, probably he fits in that form line there, and Hudson, is that they're probably looking. I'm keep having going down the list and looking at Trekking, wanting to make a case for him. If Minari stuck in the field, I'd want to be specking him at long odds. But I just think it's all that Blue Diamond form now, which ties in with Hudson, and that's not disrespecting She Will Reign, but her marketplace is there because of liability.
And Glenn and Dean, I know there's that history tells us about the Victorian coming, having its first start at Rose Hill Gardens, trying to win the slipper at its first run in Sydney. But we saw a century-old tradition beaten on the weekend, didn't we, in the Newmarket. Never in the past 100 years has a horse won the Newmarket first up. But Redkirk Warrior changed all that, Dina.
He certainly did, TK. It nearly got broken last year, and that's why I thought it would be hard to do with when you consider the horse last year was Blackheart Bart, and he's won 5 Group 1 since.
Yeah.
You liked him that day, didn't you?
Redkirk? Yeah. I like him even more today.
I think you had him. Do you have him second pick?
Third pick.
Yeah. I knew you had him in the top three.
Yeah, he had a great chance, just that he's a... I think the stable's thought on him is that he's just an outstanding horse, and that just through injuries in Hong Kong, and then he won that Sandown Stakes beating Stratum Star, and he had laser surgery on his throat straight after the race. So, his recent trials have been brilliant, and when he was up outside the lead, the race was over because he's just a strong horse. I couldn't believe the speed horses went as slowly as they did. And I actually couldn't believe that the speed horses that drew wide didn't take a chance to go down the outside, because Sweet Cherry went magnificently in the early race down the outside fence.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't take a chance out wide, but he was in the right spot and had quite a dominant margin over another first-up runner, Voodoo Lad. Couldn't imagine a horse looking better than he did in the yard pre-race, so he was sort of a nearly must-go-in just on his appearance, and he ran a terrific race and star turn. I reckon about 1,100 pulls him up. That last 100, he was marking time.
The strange thing is, Dino, that David Hayes in his stable, you mentioned they had a good opinion of this horse, Redkirk Warrior. David said, for anybody who's been listening to me, I keep saying this is the best horse in my stable.
Yeah, he's been telling everyone.
It's $31 at start.
Yeah.
So it's a fair training performance too, as you went through a list of reasons why.
Tavachi went well there.
Tavachi went really well. He sort of got held up and got to the line well. And I actually suspect he had a little setback after his first up win, because I think he was going to the Futurity and then coming back for the Newmarket, and he didn't go there. So I would say he'll improve off that run. And He'll head your way now, and I suppose he's going to try and get into the Doncaster as a lightweight chance.
Okay, speaking of David Hayes, let's go to this magic night, Ronnie, which was race four in the calendar. Obviously, Tulip was just super impressive.
It was one of those wins where, you know, they get to the 700 or the 650 and you say this race is all over. Mm. She was just probably on the wrong leg to a certain extent, but she was travelling, she was trucking, and she was always going to blouse them over the top of them there. And I thought it was just a dominant win. They run much better figures than the colts. I think she beat a good filly in Elise. There's a gap from, you know, one to two and from two to, to third. Just a very, very likeable win. Whether she can do that again, you know, she's been through the Blue Diamond process and she's here and she's gone bang. How many more times can she do that? Look, they're all individuals. If she pulls up well and arrives in this form, she's right in this race. And the thing that she did is that she did it on a soft seven. Yeah.
And Kieran McAvoy stays with her in the slipper.
Does he?
He stays.
Yeah, they've confirmed he'll ride it in the slipper.
You know, and the Hay stable are flying, Glenn.
Are they what, TK? And, you know, if you get back to my theory, you look at the horses out of the Blue Diamond, Catchy, Pariah, Tulip, two of them have now had a run at Rose Hill and one hasn't.
Ooh.
So does therefore Pariah and Tulip have the advantage going into the slipper over Catchy? And if you
not
if
on ability.
Can you firm them in the market and blow Catchy back out?
Well, Catchy's shorter price than both of them at the
that's
moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Albeit Pariah started a shorter price, the SP profile. Pariah started a shorter price than Catchy in the Blue Diamond, yet Pariah's had experience at Rose Hill. It's now a longer price than Catchy in the slipper.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And, the only thing that David Hayes hasn't had any luck with, his apprentice that rode his horse at Coral yesterday, Jake Duffy, he looks as though he's got a possible fractured elbow out of a fall there. Winona Costa, now can please anyone tell me what this poor girl has done to anyone? She has broken both her wrists.
Oh, jeez.
Confirmed this morning, according to Racing New South Wales.
That's terrible.
Winona's mother, who was at the races with her yesterday, she only came back on Friday. Her first day back since October, went to Kembla. Then she rode at Rose Hill Saturday. She drove out to Wellington. I spoke to her yesterday. They drove out Saturday night. She had a ride yesterday. Should have been. It was the strangest race of all time, the Wellington Boot. The favourite missed the kick. Then the horse of Greg Hickman started to buck jump. Then should have been started to buck jump. Winona bailed out. And then poor old Leon Davies' horse broke down. But she's broken both or fractured both her wrists this morning. And that's her mother, Patricia's confirmed that. And whereas Brock Ryan, they thought he dislocated his shoulder, but he looks as though he's broken his collarbone. It says clavicle, collarbone, isn't it?
That's terrible news for Winona, and it's terrible news for her mother as well.
Yeah, well, you know, she was in good spirits.
Two broken wrists you don't want.
My mother will speak from experience there. My dad broke, he broke his shoulder and his wrist once. And lucky she had a bit of nursing skills, my mother, so it came in very, very handy.
Anyway.
I've never seen a horse buck like that. You know, you see horses buck and you see horses buck.
It was a dead set rodeo performance.
It was in full flight.
Really? Yeah.
It was, you know, it was bounding. It was still going, you know, 40 or 50 kilometres an hour and still bucking. It was a real rodeo exhibition. Right. I'm surprised she stayed on for the first three.
Yeah. We wish her a speedy recovery as quick as it possibly can be. Can I just deal with the Pago now, Ronnie? Single Bullet, Gary Patelli. This has been I don't think he started with that many two-year-olds, but to get a couple into the slip is fantastic.
Marvellous achievement, and this horse deserves to be in the race. He's a horse that had his first start in that Wyong Magic Millions, and I thought he was terrific there after missing the start. He melted at Warwick Farm and on that heavy track and had excuses. Then this horse was definitely the bias horse of the day because at Randwick he was in the no-go zone and still whacked on, and he proved that. He proved that there on Saturday. Look, had to be ridden upside down with that, you know, very unfortunate incident of Gerald's two horses being scratched at the barrier there. Anglin read the play, went forward, and out-toughed them. Look, I think he'll run well on the slipper. They're ridden quieter or just off them. He toughed it out nicely outside the lead there. He's a really nice horse.
And Ducimus tried hard.
Lovely horse. Lovely horse. He's just over-raced a little bit early and you know, took a bit of getting past. So, look, he hasn't done too much wrong, winning a few in a row and then coming here trying to force his... Well, I don't know about trying to force his way in. I think he's in. If he wants to run in the slipper, he probably will. Look, he's a nice horse.
No doubt about that. So they're the two-year-olds. They go through single bullet and tulip. Automatic qualification there for the slipper. The barrier draw is tomorrow morning, and we'll be broadcasting live from Rosehill Gardens tomorrow morning. And then the barrier draw, Glenn, you'll be reframing the market after the draw, what, about 11.30, isn't it?
Yeah, the draw starts at 11. You'll see it live on Sky. And I can tell you now, whatever draws wide will probably drift. Whatever draws inside will firm. Why? Because it happens every draw, no matter if it's 5 furlongs, 500 furlongs, 8 runners, 80 runners. That's just the way it happens.
I don't mind. I like your theory now, Ronnie, that if they draw wide, they're a speed horse. They can jump well and cross. And
I hope Tootson draws 16 and you blow it out to about $8 there. Well, I'll be having a little nice old
16's going to suit it better than 4.
Definitely. Definitely, because she's the fastest horse in that race by 100 yards.
Yeah. So she'd be able to get across.
Glide across at her own steam.
Right? Yep.
And find the best part of the track if there is one. You know, the middle of the track might be the best go. So she'll hold all the aces if she draws right. If she draws one,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, with the weather expected, one's probably not going to be that great.
Yeah. Well, she's fast, though.
Yeah, and the other thing is, barrier one doesn't seem to concern them for the first half of the race. They only start to shift off the fence once they get about 600 from home.
Yeah, that is true. That's our thoughts regarding your slipper. We'll be taking your thoughts. It's 9.32, which means Gemma Cunning has made her way, swanned her way into the studio for an update with all the news in the sport. G'day, Gem.
Hello, TK. Penrith have moved on from their disappointing performance in round one to defeat West Tigers 36-2. The Panthers were able to keep the Tigers tryless, scoring 6 of their own, including a double to Dean Vare. In the second game yesterday, Parramatta defeated St George 34-16. Titans fullback Jared Hayne is expected to spend 4 weeks on the sidelines after suffering an ankle injury in a loss to Newcastle. Hayne will undergo scans today and will miss the chance to play his former side, Parramatta, on Friday night. Australian wicketkeeper Matthew Wade believes Marcus Stoinis is ready for a shock test debut, saying he's in a really good position to play as the all-rounder to the test team. The Sydney Morning Herald's Chris Barrett told the Big Sports Breakfast this morning he also thinks selectors will go with Stoinis. In the English Premier League, Liverpool defeated Burnley 2-1, while in the FA Cup, Tottenham smashed Millwall 6-0. And the Swans have beaten St Kilda by 3 points in their JLT pre-series match last night, with Buddy Franklin kicking 2 goals. The Swans have some injury concerns out of the match, with Josh Kennedy and Heath Grundy sustaining injuries. In the other games yesterday, Geelong defeated Essendon and Port Adelaide beat Hawthorn. This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
We're getting ready.
Gonna look our best.
Everyone's on their way
to the championships.
Don't miss all the excitement of racing's premier event. The provincial championships are coming to Kembla Grange.
Come on, come on, come on.
It's more than horses and fashion. It's a cool, hip place to play.
So come on, get in, get down, see the best horses around.
The championships, Kembla Grange, Thursday, March 23.
Sky Sports Radio covers New South Wales harness racing everywhere. And March is dominated by the Bathurst Gold Crown Carnival with 5 outstanding meetings. Keep up to date every Tuesday morning at 10:30 with On The Pace with Greg Hayes on Sky Sports Radio.
AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off products, including wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware with the new black chrome finish out soon, plus vanities, toilet suites, basins, freestanding and drop-in baths, and so much more. AstiVita.com.au. 2-year warranty over 50 service locations with free delivery to most areas. AstiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off. An Aussie company since 2007. That's AstiVita.com.au.
Here's 14 for the equine queen of the world, Winx.
Where will you be when Winx goes for glory this racing season? Get to Royal Randwick or Rosehill Gardens to experience the thrill and excitement of live racing. See the champions of the sport battle it out. Who will trump the best of the best? Will Winx continue her winning streak? Make sure you're on track to find out and to be a part of the action. Visit the atc.com.au.
You're listening to Punter's Postmortem. Have your say.
Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272 or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Look, we've got 1,000 callers we've got to get to, but Henry from Culburra is listening from a residential care facility and they won't let him stay on the line too long, right? So he wants to ask Dean what happened to Miss Vista.
Miss Vista is running in the race at Albury. The
Flat Knacker.
The Flat Knacker, yep. Yes.
The what?
The Flat Knacker.
The Flat Knacker.
We've gone through this before, haven't we?
An Albury Cup Day.
Is okay.
Albury Cup Day or the first meeting there?
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah.
Oh, there's two meetings. There's actually Championship Days on Sunday and Sunday. Then there's Albury Cup Days
yeah,
later.
So it'll be one of those days and it's running in that
okay.
race.
Okay. Well, the Flat Knacker
I'll
for Miss Vista.
I'll find out when the Flat Knacker's on for him.
There's quite a name and tip there for everyone down there
we
in the residential care
it.
Facility.
It used to be the Tab Flat Knacker.
I can imagine. Hey, look, for all those video watchers out there, if you want to really, if you want to see a good thing beaten, and there's plenty every weekend, right, but none better than this one, go to Doomben Race 6, number 8, Can't Buy Better. I don't know how many people saw this, but I think it was pretty well supported at fair odds. It was the greatest certainty beaten you've ever seen.
I missed it.
Yeah. It got knocked down probably about the 200 and then went to the line. I think it ran third last and should have definitely run a place if not one.
After getting knocked down at about the 800, the 650, yeah. the 550.
Yeah. The Flat Knacker is on Albury Cup Day, which is Friday, March 24. We've got the Albury Gold Cup, the Albury Guinea, sponsored by Inglis, the Flat Knacker, the City Handicap, the Adrian Legend Memorials that day as well, which is a 2,500-metre race. So that's Friday, March 24. That's where you'll see Miss Vista.
There you go. Well done. That's Henry from Culburra. Your question has been answered.
And our research staff, TK, is just unbelievable.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Glenn Munsey, solo. Philip, good morning.
Oh, g'day. How are you going?
Well, thanks, Phil.
I just wanted your opinion, please, because at Flemington, huge bias, we're in the run, and both races were Group 1. Do you think Tavachi and Humidor were big runs?
Oh, Dino, well, Humidor
yes.
was enormous run.
Well, Humidor was an enormous run, but the only way he could have done that on the day is if they went as hard as they did, and all the other speed horses dropped out except for Jamaica, so her run was unbelievable
yep.
also. So in two different ways, they were both great runs in that race. And, yeah, Tavachi was good. If he could have blended into the race, he would have, I reckon he probably nearly would have placed, but he just got held up for too long.
Awesome Rock seemed to be the undoing of Jamaica there. He just kept kicking up.
Well, he was trying to hold him in behind heels, and then about the 800 he'd given up, and it was on.
Dino, I think I'm right about the United States.
Mm.
I don't know whether it's... I reckon it's just a length behind them all.
Yeah, well, I think he's going to back up in the Randbet on Saturday.
Okay, he'll probably come out and bolt in.
Well, he did that last year.
Yes.
He ran in the Blamey and backed up a week later and won the Randbet, so you'll get your answer pretty quick anyway.
What do you think?
You might be right, TK. I've been batting up for him, but, yeah.
No, I'm a fan, but I just the last couple of runs, just see something more.
He's in the
more.
Spot to win on Saturday.
Yeah.
He had a perfect run.
Perfect.
I was disappointed. I thought he had a great winning chance, and I thought in the run everything had gone really well.
Yeah.
But he's certainly not. I know it's confirmed now. He's not at his best at Flemington. I think he actually likes tighter tracks better.
Okay.
Like Moonee Valley's been his best place. That's where we've seen the best of him.
Don't sack him yet. Then okay. Hi Simon. Good morning.
Hey fellas, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. I just want to say thanks for your opinions and your knowledge over the years. I've been living in Switzerland, so I haven't been able to listen live because of the time difference, but I've been listening to your podcast for the last 5 years.
Okay, good.
And, just want to say thanks for that because not much happens racing-wise in Switzerland apart from the white turf, which is only 3 or 4 Sundays a year.
So what were you doing over there, mate? Hiding cash in the
Is my bank still okay over there?
What was that, Munsey?
Is my bank still okay over there? I deposit to it regularly.
Mate, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Yours and many others. my wife was working over there. So, we're over there for that.
Good.
Yeah, and I just want to ask Dino a question. Horse Kevlar Kid that ran at was supposed to run at Swan Hill a couple of weeks ago. Do you know that one?
I know the name. I'm just trying to place
it. Yeah, it didn't jump from the barrier.
Okay.
And they said it's a starter. So I was pretty disappointed with that because I put some on it. And
well, that would mean it was given every opportunity to jump and it never did.
It was its fault, not a mechanical.
It wasn't being held. It wasn't being stuck in the barrier. Issue. Yeah.
It just decided it didn't want to
take part. Yeah, according to the stewards.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. So it would then have to go out and trial somewhere, Dino, wouldn't it?
Yes, it
did trial.
Yep.
It trialled. Oh, where's it gone now, this thing? I just had it here, actually. It trialled after that.
Okay.
Bring it back up.
All right, so Simon, just keep an eye on it. It will be back out there. We've got 1,000 calls, so we're getting through as many as we can. Hi, Tony. Good morning. Hi, Tone.
G'day, TK. Just before I ask Glenn about a bundle bet,
yeah.
Dino.
Yes, Tony.
But were you, I was unpleasantly surprised by the comments of David Brightoak, re his charge. I'll attend to that later.
In now.
Nurse Kitchen.
I didn't hear his comments.
He was a pre-interview on the Racing Channel.
Yep.
And he basically said, apropos to the track, it's got no hope.
Yeah, well,
Bowman won't know whether to go up on the inside. And I thought if the stewards had heard that interview, they had the authority to scratch it. I have never, ever heard a trainer say this has got no chance whatsoever.
Well, I think those that had horses that were backmarkers were resigned to that fact.
Mm.
Make the comment, Bud Dino.
I think he's making a point about the track, not his training.
Well, he basically said it's got no chance. Anyway,
wasn't he just giving an honest opinion?
That he was, very unusual to make a comment like that. But
see, I'm the opposite, Tony. I don't mind.
Yeah,
I'd rather him tell the truth than tell the punters, everybody listening, oh, no, I still think my horse has got a great chance.
Well, why do they scratch horses if they don't think they can handle the wet track right at the before the race starts?
Because you're not allowed to scratch it because of bias.
We'd have had very small fields.
What? If there's a downgrade, you can't scratch a horse.
Yeah, no, of course you can. There was no downgrade.
There was no downgrade, Tony.
It was just
Tony.
A track bias. It was just the way the day was painting out.
Yes, double A.
What's the bundle bet for Catchy, Sepoy and Tulip?
It's final field. It's not all in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's final field. Because mate,
they're all around about the $8-$9 mark.
Well, work it out. It's based on percentages. Say they all run $10, which is 10%. Right? So there's 30%, so it'll be around 13-4.
Right, having three runners at 13-4 is a little bit more better value than having She Will Reign and Hitchin running for you.
Yeah, well that's the idea about it, Tone.
That's
you know,
right.
if you're looking specifically to bet around a particular runner, like Michael Fraser on Saturday said, I don't want to be on Omei Sword in the Coolmore.
Mm.
And his four tips, if I can go...
Wish I would have heard that.
TK, it's on from 6:30 every morning, Saturday, Racing HQ. The preview starts at 8. goes till 9. Ron Duffersey, Michael Fraser, myself and Andrew Bensley. And you can watch it on Sky.
I'm looking after 12, 13-year-olds at... Yeah. Saturday morning.
Now, he never had the winner, but he had 16. He had Den Magic to beat Danish Twist, then Abby Marie, and then Thames Court. And those four runners there, you could have taken them in a bundle bet and got $5 about those four runners.
Okay.
That's the sort of thing that a bundle bet is. It's particularly handy if you do want to bet around a favourite, or you get a tough race like the big races that are coming up. Tone wants to back the three horses out of the Blue Diamond in the Golden Slipper.
Yeah,
well, app at the moment.
They said the app, but Brett Devine grabbed me Saturday and he said he couldn't actually find it on the
app.
Yeah,
I just struggled.
It was on that top rung of the web.
It's definitely on the web.
Yeah, of the web.
Yeah.
Anyway, they'll be working on that. Don't worry about that. So there's another one.
It's on the app now. It's come up as new.
Yeah, right. So that's for you, Tone. And quickly, sorry, mate, just back to Kevlar Kid.
Yep.
Had won a trial at Wangaratta on the 6th of March,
yep.
Beating Pretty Possum and Lord Von Costa.
All right, let's keep taking calls if we can. Hi, Mark. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, thanks.
I was just wondering what you thought of the ride on Global Glamour.
Ronnie?
Look, that's her go. That's how you ride her. She was a little bit agitated and warm in the yard there on Saturday. She may have just come to the end of it. She's had a couple of really tough runs. You know, she went up to Gold Coast on that hot day and she come back. And the way they ride her and how aggressive they are on her, you know, there's so many times that you can go to the well. Maybe she can't run that hard 1500 now.
She's got two group ones already.
Yep, she has. But
she was a little bit better behaved Saturday, and sometimes that's a worry.
Yeah.
When horses are always on the toe and they come in different and quieter, that's usually an indication that they are over the top because they're not in their normal state.
She wasn't herself.
No.
Okay. She wasn't herself.
There you go. Thank you, Mark, for your call. We've got other people online. Hi, Tony. Good morning.
Yeah, how you going, TK?
Well, thanks, Tone.
That's the go. Look, I just wanted to wish speedy recovery to a friend of ours that had a race fall yesterday in Corowa.
Yeah.
Brian Murphy. He hurt his neck.
Oh.
The other guy, I think, broke his elbow.
Oh,
so to both of them, I just had to get well and get back on the track as soon as I can because me and my wife help out with his horses back in Wagga and... yeah, I just hope that he gets better quickly.
He's had a couple of bad falls, hasn't he, Brian?
Yeah, he has.
I think he had a bad one.
Few months.
Yeah.
So this one here, I think he's okay. I would have had to drive down to Albury last night to pick him up, but he's back in Wagga and
good.
Hopefully he'll get better. He's just got to rest up, I think.
Well done, Tone. Our thoughts and prayers for a speedy recovery for Brian there as well. 1353 53 is the open line number on Punters Post-Mortem. Hi, Pat. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Well, thanks, Pat.
Now, first of all, Dino, you have got to be the best judge I've ever come across in my 53 years of punting.
There you go.
You are a genius.
We all agree.
You are a genius. But the reason of this call... Yesterday, the jockey weighing in light. This is a joke. Mm. It should not happen in our day and age.
Now, that was at Wellington, wasn't it?
Wellington.
Corowa.
Yeah, now, who loses out? It's only the punter. The TAB, Glenn Munsey, you haven't lost a cent.
Yeah, Glenn.
You haven't lost a cent, Glenn. But all the punters that backed that horse have lost their money. They had virtually could not win. And the thing is, when you have a bet, you must either win or lose. From the moment the people put the bet on, they could not win that bet because when that horse went out and weighed in light, every punter has done their money cold, and it's not fair.
Mate, I don't think it's fair, but this is a topic that Ray Murray, when he was the chairman of stewards, raised at every single stewards conference.
Yeah.
And
what was the solution there, Glenn? Did Ray have one?
There was no solution because as a detriment, the horse has to be disqualified. And as a result of a disqualification, the punters lose out.
Yeah.
But if the horse is not disqualified, there was no penalty for the participants who have led to that horse weighing in light. And Ray would say, well, you'd get to a situation where someone would purposely...
Yes.
And I'm not casting aspersions on anyone whatsoever.
Toss the lead out of this.
He said, there is no deterrent for anyone then if the horse isn't disqualified. Someone could just, on purpose, leave the lead bag off or whatever, basically to give the horse a run, knowing full well that the horse in the end would be disqualified.
Yeah, Pat, it's not... You change one rule, you've got to think of all the consequences. So it is a very, very tough rule for you, but it's the knock-on effect that you've always got to think about. I like to call it the bubble in the carpet effect. You know, you smooth that bubble out and then it goes somewhere else.
So the only thing I want to say is, Joe Cleary, you are a master trainer.
Yes.
He's a very good speech maker, too.
Yesterday, Lucy Rose, I've got a share in that horse. And,
well done.
And the way she had jumped out from barrier 12, crossed them, I mean, it was an incident full race. I mean, what a lot of things happened in that race. But still, she won so well.
And it was named after a lady that passed away a few weeks ago.
Yeah, she was in palliative care. And we all submitted a name for the horse. And her name was Lucy, and she called it Lucy Rose. And honest to God, you know, it was just a shame that she was not there yesterday. She died about 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
And she saw it win first up at Canberra. And then in the Black Opal Prelude, again, Lucy drew 15 out of 15. And she raced on the outside. Actually, Gunnison won that race. And Gunnison came out and won at Rose Hill. So the form around her was brilliant. But, yeah, it's a shame that she wasn't there to see that her horse win that race yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Good call, Pat. And nice to hear from you. Just regarding the track at Flemington, if you want a solution for track bias, Terry, then you should get the head greenkeeper from Sha Tin out for a visit. Every week you see horses come from anywhere, from race to race, and win. Tiger Marty. Roddy, you're a devotee of Hong Kong.
Yeah, they still have their bias now and again. It's probably not... Have you seen after a meeting, they got about 500 people on their hands
filling
and knees.
Filling in the divots, yeah.
On their hands and knees, yep. You know, pulling out all... You know, they've got a huge staff, track staff there, so they it's easy for them to dot their I's and cross their T's.
Well, probably plenty
too.
Of people here would say we have enough
and
turnover.
And climate, and then, they only race once a week and whatever, but as Dino said, and climate as well.
Yeah. Well, their climate's pretty brutal.
Not really. It's the, you know, it's if they get rain, it's pretty quick and it's all over with. It drains, you know.
Right. So. Okay. Same track problems every year, whether spring or autumn. Surely these blokes get paid enough to grow bloody grass, says Buffer. So it must be harder than it looks because we seem to be talking about a lot, Dino. So it must.
Yeah, no, we do.
But the thing, the revelation from the weekend, and I'm sure it must come as news to a lot of people, are the two different types of grass. So there's a 3-metre patch of kikuyu at Flemington from the rail out 3 metres, and then it's rye from there on in, from there on out.
All racetracks have different
do they?
Blends of grass. They're not all the same grass. And
what, a 3-metre patch and then... Different,
but not not pure like that.
Yeah,
you know, it's like going to a golf course and having cooch fairways on one and kikuyu fairways on another.
Yeah,
you know, but and Mick said many times the reason he does cut it down lower is the fact it grows at a different rate and he's trying to even it up with the rest of the track. We had Chris Toogood on Saturday morning, the trackman at Rose Hill, telling us that they cut the grass to 110 mils. At Rose Hill, are we going to get to the stage now that we need to know what the height of the grass is? I know before they play football, TK, and you at ANZ, they send a report around as to how much rain they've had and what length the grass is
coming. You should have all the information that's available, and what you do with that information is up to you, whether you take it on board or not. Let's keep taking calls. We'll go up the top of the board. Tony, good morning. Phil. We'll go to Phil. Hi, Phil.
Hello,
mate. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Well, thanks.
Well, I just want to ask a question. Jamaica on the weekend was outstanding. I think Ronnie said it before that it was only because the awesome rock kept pushing up that he probably didn't win the race. I just want to know, awesome rock finished second last. Do the connections get called into the stewards about the ride, or what goes on?
Well, I didn't, but... I thought Awesome Rock just started to get too keen behind the heels of Jamaica coming up to about the 800, and Bastard had no sort of option but to roll up because he basically couldn't hold the horse back.
Mm. Well, when it won, the McKinnon was on the speed, not as if it's not an on speed.
Well, he's at his best outside the lead, but they were going pretty solid. You know, the sectional show, they went very solid in that race, and then he's rolled up, and then was one four wide rolled up as well, which just added a bit more to it. So.
There you go. If that answers your question, good on you, Phil. Thanks. Nice to hear from you. G'day, boys. Do you think Ome Sword will run in the Doncaster? Mick, it bled.
No.
Yeah, she's out of play.
So 3 months?
3 months. She bled both nostrils. That's unfortunate because she looked exciting coming into the autumn. Mm. And obviously she's got that problem to... they can treat now and come back, hopefully.
There were some flops there, mate, on the weekend, weren't there, Ronnie? Yeah. Winebush was terrible in the last. Limbo Soul, you know, was a bit of a boom horse, came fifth in the Magic Night. He's Our Rocky, was heavily backed, it did nothing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, La Bella Diosa, she didn't back up that first up run. She was pretty ordinary there on Saturday. There was quite a few, but I suppose that's the case with every meeting. There's always disappointments
Depends what you're back, doesn't it?
Yeah, it depends what you're back.
Yeah. I think was she coughing, La Bella Diosa? Philip Dingle told us Saturday. I think she might have finished it with a cough. I'll just check it anyway.
Yeah. One more call, if we can, up the top. Hi, Tony. Good morning. Hi, Tony.
Hello. Yeah, good morning. How are you going?
Well, thanks.
That's right. I just wanted to ask Munsey a question about fixed odds.
Yes,
certainly. Where you go?
Four horse Moldy, one horse scratched. I took a 10% deduction
across the whole bet on the winning bet, you know, obviously you only worry about it if it wins.
Yeah, of course.
How do they justify that deduction when you're taking the fixed odd?
Because, mate, it is refunds and deductions apply in final field betting, as it has done since time immemorial with betting with a bookmaker at the races. Once you have the field declared, you are betting into a market. If there is a scratching from that market, there is a deduction taken. That's the same as if you were to bet at the races with a doubles bookmaker, if they were still alive and had a double A into B, you've got to cop a deduction for one of the legs coming out.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah. Tony, do you understand that?
Well, I understand it, but again, 10%...
what price was it?
It depends what price it was.
Yeah. All deductions...
Yeah, well, the price that is declared on the fixed odds paid more than the... on the last race, paid more than the deduction. I mean, again, I'm talking from a win. It doesn't affect you if you lose. But again, you know, I take on a fixed odds late in England on a Saturday night on a 50-1 chance, and they take out, you know, I've had a winner where they've taken $1,000 out. I'll tell you the result. A four-leg Māori, I picked up 60. I was supposed to get a return of 68,000. I got a return of exactly 10% out. They took out $6,800.
So there was a 10-cent deduction for that multi. So one of the legs that must have come out was single-figure odds to take 10 cents out. And if you bet in the last race on Saturday, that the only scratching in the last race on Saturday was Gambler's Blues, who opened a $4.60 chance, which is roughly 21% of the market, and it was a deduction on Friday of 13 cents the win.
Newcastle. It was at Newcastle Saturday, last leg.
What race was it in?
The eighth race, the messy one where the
even money favourite came out. No,
didn't come out. You were going on that all the money of the day had gone on to the favourite,
Chavo, who was the second pick, were around about a $5 chance.
Yep.
That was the late scratching in the race. Chavo was a late scratching, wouldn't go in the barriers. The last race in Newcastle Saturday, the New England Trading Colts and Geldings Class 1 handicap over 1,300.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, $8 was when it came out.
Right, so that's an $8, that's a 7-1 chance, which is approximately, you know, 13% of the market. How much came out?
Yeah, well, you took off, as I said, off 68,000, you took $6,800.
Yeah, but it's not the figure that's coming out, it's the actual deduction. The bigger return you face, it doesn't matter if you were going to get $68 back, $6.80 would have come out.
Yeah. Thanks, Tone.
Nice to hear you had a good day anyway, Tony.
Anyway.
Hey, I'm sure he was happy if he was on the winner when the evens chance went two strides and the jockey fell off it.
Yeah. Thanks, Tone, for your call. One to follow, boys. I'd cop that. I wouldn't even whinge about that, I don't think.
Oh, you'd whinge.
I don't know about that. Yeah. Ronnie, what one to follow? No, give us your slipper tip. I know you can change your mind 20 times, right, from now till then, but give us one to follow in your slipper tip.
The horse to follow, I think that Victorian Comic Set could run well in a Carbine or a Packer Plate or something like that. He's a nice horse.
Yep.
And... look, honestly.
Okay.
I'm not going
to stay
be,
listening.
No, I can't.
That's okay.
It. First time ever.
All right. That's all right. It'll be nice to hear from Cheryl this morning. And now, Glenn, what do you like? One to follow plus your slipper tip. I know it's early.
Yeah. Thanks to that person that just told me Chavo was $10 when scratched anyway. Mate, I honestly don't know. You know, as I said, I don't know.
But, all right.
You know, at this stage, I'm probably warming closer to Tulip and Pariah than others.
Okay. And Dino, buddy, can you give me one? I know it's early days, but and then one to follow?
I'm with Catchy. She'll break the race for Hoodoo. Tulip did it on Saturday.
Yeah.
They're well educated. She'll get the job done.
Well done.
And Ken's Dream's the one to follow out of Flemington.
Ken's Dream.
He's underdone and ran very well. He's in for a good preparation.
Good on you, Dino. Always terrific, mate. You can get... Work that grass out, will you, down at Flemington? Just go and relay it for us. It'll be fine.
That'd be good.
Yeah, if you haven't got enough to do, you mind doing that as well?
Yeah.
Thanks, Dean. Thanks, okay. Glenn. Thanks, Duff.
See you in the morning, TK.
Yep, we'll see you out there at Rosehill Gardens. We look forward to it. We'll be on air from 5:30 a.m. from Rosehill Gardens. And Glenn, of course, right throughout the morning, the barrier draw will also be live on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Thoroughbred Central, plus Glenn will be reframing those markets. It's 10 o'clock.